Hello, I'm Orla Smith. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine podcast for April 6, 2011. In this show, I will be speaking with Dr. David Holtzman of Washington University about Alzheimer's disease, the subject of the first of our series of state-of-the-art reviews. Alzheimer's disease is a devastating neurodegenerative disorder that affects 30 million people worldwide. As the baby boomer generation ages, this number is set to quadruple in the next 40 years, threatening to bankrupt the economies of many developed countries. There are currently no drugs that can delay the onset or slow the course of this insidious illness that begins with mild memory loss and ends with total incapacity. Research advances have uncovered two molecular culprits that are major contributors to the pathogenic events that result in death of neurons in the brain. But translating these research advances into new treatments has been challenging. Here now is David Holtzman on the line to explain. Welcome, Dr. Holtzman, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much, Orla, for asking me to participate.
So how big is the problem of Alzheimer's disease, and what are the healthcare ramifications?
Alzheimer's disease is the major cause of dementia, and it probably contributes to 70 to 75% of cases. And in the United States alone, it's estimated there's more than 5 million people who currently have Alzheimer's disease. And as you mentioned earlier, the numbers are expected to quadruple over 40 to 50 years unless we develop better therapies, which are not currently available.
So what do we know about the two major molecular culprits in Alzheimer's disease?
So the two major culprits are the amyloid beta peptide, or A-beta for short, and the tau protein. And there is compelling genetic, biochemical, and animal model evidence that the amyloid peptide probably instigates and initiates the disease process. The tau protein is also clearly important, as genetics of this particular gene appear to cause another type of a dementia called frontotemporal dementia, yet it is also clearly involved in Alzheimer's disease, as its aggregation in the brain correlates very strongly with clinical progression of disease.
What other molecular pathways may be involved?
One of the interesting things in the field that has emerged is that while the amyloid peptide and tau probably independently contribute to brain degeneration, they appear to be linked in some way, such that the aggregation of the amyloid peptide in the brain in some way exacerbates the aggregation of tau protein. And the aggregation of these two proteins together somehow appears to cause toxicity to neurons and synapses in the brain. But there's a variety of other molecules that impact on these pathways that we're learning a lot more about now. One of the major culprits that appears to interact with the A-beta pathway is ApoE. And ApoE, interestingly, is the major genetic risk factor for Alzheimer's disease, that is one of the strongest genetic risk factors for any common disease of man.
Has a better understanding of the molecular pathways of disease yielded fresh leads for drug development?
I think it really has. So, for example, a very simple concept that would be analogous to cardiovascular disease is that cholesterol builds up in arteries that ultimately leads to disorders such as heart attacks and strokes. In the same way, the amyloid peptide builds up in the brain of patients with Alzheimer's disease and appears to be contributing to disease. So a simple concept has been, if you could lower the production of the amyloid peptide or increase its clearance, that would potentially lead to a therapy for Alzheimer's disease. Many people in the field, including the pharmaceutical industry, have thought this is a logical approach and have developed several good drugs that treat either the synthesis of the amyloid peptide or its clearance. While none of these drugs in development has yet been shown to slow the progression of disease or delay the onset, there is still some hope that they might if started at the right time during the course of disease.
Can you tell us about progress with developing biomarkers for detecting the earliest stages of Alzheimer's disease?
Right. The field of biomarkers in Alzheimer's disease is really progressed at a very high level over the last 10 to 15 years. So unlike some of the other neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's disease or even Huntington's disease, both structural and molecular biomarkers are quite advanced in Alzheimer's disease. So for example, one can now detect using molecular imaging and PET scanning the buildup of amyloid in the brain of human beings that are still alive. One doesn't need a biopsy of the brain anymore to determine whether or not amyloid pathology is occurring. There's also a lot of progress in fluid biomarkers, so cerebrospinal fluid biomarkers can also detect not only the buildup of amyloid in the brain, but they can detect the progressive neurodegeneration that's occurring in concert with tau aggregation in the brain. So there really has been a lot of work in this area, and it's very promising, and hopefully it will ultimately bear fruit so that we can select the right patients for clinical trials and also monitor the effects of different drugs that are being developed.
What do you see as the biggest barriers to translating research advances into new treatments for helping patients?
I think there's two major barriers in terms of drug development in Alzheimer's disease. One is that the disease, while it's a devastating disease and ultimately leads to death of patients, it's a slowly progressive disease. So it's difficult in a short period of time to determine whether a drug is slowing progression when progression, even in patients who are already clinically impaired, takes about sometimes 1.5 to 3 years to clearly detect progression. So that means that potentially the use of biomarkers to determine whether a therapy is not only hitting its target, but preventing progression of a chemical change that correlates with neurodegeneration would be very helpful to potentially not shorten the clinical drug trial, but to really have a better feel that a drug is likely to be hitting its target and working before doing a very large trial. The other major barrier is that the disease clearly starts probably on the order of 10 to 15 years prior to the onset of any clinical symptoms of the disease. And by the time there is clinical evidence of disease, there's already a substantial amount of brain damage. So moving trials earlier, hopefully in the preclinical period when pathology is already present but symptoms are absent, would be a major advance to accelerate drug development.
Dr. Holtzman, thanks for joining us today. And thank you so much for contributing the first state-of-the-art review for Science Translational Medicine.
Thank you very much.
That was David Holtzman of Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, Missouri. Check out the state-of-the-art review by David Holtzman, John Morris, and Allison Goat on the Science Translational Medicine website at stm.sciencemag.org. I'm Orla Smith. Thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.